I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Lee. So I've got people on the text line. If you're new to all of this, you've discovered talk radio. Here's the thing you got to remember, okay? We are in the very fakest part of the silly season of elections right now.
Yeah.
Everything is very, very, very fake. Especially the polls. Especially mainstream media polls. So, I mean, there's always the off chance they're telling the truth, but that rarely happens. You can't believe anything that you hear. And ironically, my source for this is CNN. Their pollster went on yesterday and warned, you can't believe anything that you hear. And he's actually correct. Here's what he said. He told folks, you know, ready to pop the champagne bottles because Kamala Harris is going to win.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Here's from the transcript. He says, take a look here in 2016. The average poll in all these states I mentioned, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, those Great Lakes battleground states, Trump was underestimated by 9 points on average at this point in 2016. 9 points on average. By who? He specifically mentions the New York Times Siena College poll. Wow, that's weird. The very one that says Kamala is ahead in 3 swing states now. That poll? Yeah, that poll. Wait, they were off by how much at this time in 2016? 9 points. Like at that point, you might as well throw darts at a board. It'd work better. Flip a coin? Because at least you wouldn't be dead wrong. You'd be right 50% of the time. Okay, he then points out, okay, 2020. Trump's final numbers, his final performance, I think there was some cheating in some of these states, but let's just go with what they were and deal with it. He was underestimated by 5 points on average in 2020. Why? By those same polls in key battlegrounds, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. So the idea that these pollsters are telling the truth now, I got to say, I was watching Laura Ingraham the other day and Byron York came on and he's like, well, you know, Trump's got to work on because these polls, and she blistered him. She said, you don't believe these polls. Come on, Byron, you're too smart. Oh, come on. You can't believe the polls right now. You can't, because they lie. And what they're doing is building a fake sense of like collective sort of momentum for Kamala Harris. So that if you're kind of on the outside, a lot of people are, you're busy with your life. Well, everybody seems like Kamala, so I guess I'll vote for her. And then when the pollster calls, well, you know, I guess I'm voting for Kamala. Why? I don't know. It seems like everybody is. That's what they're trying to do. It's fake, okay? It's really, really, really fake. You're not going to know where these guys actually are in the polling until days before the election. Then the pollsters won't have a good record of getting it right, and all of a sudden they'll say, hey, it's tightening. No, it's not tightening.
Yeah.
It was always like this.
Yeah.
So don't let them freak you out with the polling. They're trying to freak us out with the polling. But the real aim of the polling is the people on the margins, the low information voters, who can be, they hope, easily swayed with this idea that Kamala's like amazing. Everybody loves her. Oh my gosh, she's the best.
So the polls, instead of actually reflecting where we're going, it is what it's actually doing is influencing the outcome.
Yeah, that there, and those are called push polls.
Yes. And
yeah,
you can, and sometimes if you go deep into it, you can see also that certain groups are oversampled. As we keep saying here, the national polls mean anything. If there's anything that talks about a national poll, it means absolutely nothing, because presidents are not elected by popular vote in the nation. They are elected, obviously, through the Electoral College, which means you have to win the individual states. That's what's important. Look at the polling of the states. Real Clear Politics does a good job because they do a average of what's going on. Also, the Trafalgar Group, which we've talked about here before several times, and Robert Cahaley from Anderson, by the way, is the guy that heads that up. They do a very good job of getting closer to what the actual outcomes have been than many of the other bigger names.
By the way, Trafalgar and Rasmussen right now have Trump across up across the those three swing states by 1 to 3 points, whereas New York Times, Siena is saying, no, he's down by about that much. So don't get caught up in polls. If you notice, Lee, I haven't talked about polls at all. I'm ignoring them right now. I don't think they're newsworthy. We don't know who's right. We don't know who's wrong, but we do know the history, and the history is they are wrong. And that's what the CNN pollster was saying the other day. Hey, look, it's not unusual to underestimate Trump's performance by 5 to 9 points. In fact, that's exactly what these liberal pollsters did last time. And the reason they did, because they weren't real polls. They're push polls.
Yeah.
But I want to point something out. One of the things I like to do just for myself to try to figure out where things are is to go into the internals of polls, because a lot of times you'll catch the contradictions.
Right.
You'll see where how they manipulated the poll.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, oversampling certain demographics.
And there's something interesting that's going on right now. And I don't know if it'll amount to anything. Don't get too excited about anything either way, okay? But this poll, this is Quinnipiac, which is one of the liberal polls that tend to be very wrong, okay? So forget the top line result. Go into the poll. Favorables. Remember, Hillary Clinton got 41% of the male vote. Joe Biden beat Trump principally because he got 43% of the male vote. Or so we're told. We can only go by the numbers that are written down. Who knows? Okay, 43%. That's millions of votes in those 2 points, right? Donald Trump, unlike what Nikki Haley said on TV, does not need... She said, go after women. Why? It's not going to work. Go after moderate Democrat. No, Nikki, that's moderate Democrats. That's your constituent. You're a Democrat. Okay, you ran on Democrat money. That works for you, not Donald Trump. Okay, who does he need to go after? Men. That seems counterintuitive, but it's not. Look at the internals of this Quinnipiac poll, and there's something fascinating going on, okay? Because this is, again, liberal pollster. Hillary Clinton, remember, got 41% of the male vote back in 2016. Wasn't enough. She didn't win. Favorables right now for Kamala Harris among men. 58% negative, 29% positive.
Yeah, that's deeply underwater.
That is also a record. It's the lowest it's ever been. It's the worst it's ever been.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
58% negative with men? Again, Hillary lost with 41. So I don't know. She got another problem. Maybe. And again, if this was a Trafalgar poll or a Rasmussen poll, I go, well, those are Republican pollsters, right? This is not. This is a liberal pollster. This is deep in the internals. Take a listen to this. With women, how's Kamala doing with women? Hillary Clinton won 52, almost 53% of the female vote. You've got to do that as a Democrat. You're not going to make it. What's her approval rating? What's her fate? It's called favorable, okay? It doesn't always translate directly to votes, but it's an indicator. What's her favorable rating with women? It should be over 50% for Kamala.
You would think.
It's not. It's 44.
Hmm.
44% favorable and 44% unfavorable with 13 undecided. Now, those undecideds could get educated and break her way. She's got to hope that. Because these numbers are not good inside this Quinnipiac poll. At all. What does it mean? I'm not going to tell you Trump's winning because I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I am going to tell you is, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's doable.
Yes, this is doable. You would not see the Democrat Party calling up their friends now in France and England and trying to have Trump and Musk arrested and extradited and threatened if they were confident they were winning. That's not a good look. It's not a good look for the left internationally. It's not a good look to not condemn that. That's desperation. And these numbers suggest they should be desperate. I'm not going to predict anything. I don't know what will happen. But what I'm seeing is these polls are silly right now. We're in the silly season.
Yeah.
And you know what is amazing to me is how many people on our side, despite the abject failure of polls to measure Trump's momentum in a race, still act like they're accurate. still act like, yeah. Well, New York Times says, so maybe Trump should. Yeah, New York Times says? Why are we listening? They're off by 9 points in 2016. 5 in 2020.
Well, what Republicans have always got to do, no matter what any poll says, run like you're behind.
Yes.
All the time. Every day. All the time. And I've been pleased with what Vance has been able to do. And he seems to be very active. And this is not a criticism of Trump. I'm glad to see that Vance is out there doing things. I wish there were other Republican leaders and, you know, senators and House leaders and major leaders within the party that were doing a little bit better job right now, or a lot better job, actually. But, you know, Vance has been holding his own and doing well in some very hostile interview situations. And, of course, you've got Trump in the battleground state of North Carolina today in Asheville. Yeah. And glad to see that. That's where he needs to be. That's good, because that's what they've got to do. They've got to go to where the battles are. There's no point, I hate to say this, no point coming to South Carolina. That's done. South Carolina's going to go Trump. But, you know, North Carolina, these other battleground states, that's what they've got to do every day. Find the places where you can make an impact and where you can, you know, motivate those, you know, those voters in the middle. That's what you've got to do.
And they got to do it fast.
Yes.
They do not have a lot of time.
No.
That's why I was ripping the Trump campaign this morning. They need to step it up.
Yep.
Because let me tell you what, those ballots are going to be mailed out on the 6th of September. That's when those ballots start going out in North Carolina swing state. Okay. So we got 2.5 weeks left. Three weeks tops, really. Those ballots are going out. He didn't have a lot of time. And he's not even covering the big stories in the news with Colin. I don't even think he's keeping up with them. His campaign should keep him up to date. They're not. I've been sending these stories. 99 terrorists released by Kamala Harris. I would pound that. And now coming up, Joe Biden, it looks like, threw Kamala Harris under the bus, tying her to his economic policies and saying they're working great. Yay. Coming up next.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.